Hello, longtime loyal listeners and brand new selfies. Misty here, popping into your feed with an announcement and a special request. Whether you are brand new to the podcast or you've been with us since the beginning, Lisa and I want to get to know you better. To that end, we've put together a short survey that will help shape the future of Go Help Yourself. You can find that survey at bit.ly/ghysurvey or at the top of our homepage at gohelpyourself.co. The survey should only take about 5 minutes, and your answers will help us improve GHY and create new offerings to better serve you. Plus, as a token of appreciation for completing the survey, we're giving away 3 different prizes: a custom book bundle, a private meet and greet with both of us, and a one-to-one coaching session with me. Your feedback is invaluable and your opinion really matters to us. Lisa and I will personally be reading all of the responses and we cannot wait to learn more about you. So if you have 5 minutes, please fill out the survey at gohelpyourself.co or bit.ly/ghysurvey. It will only be open until June 30th. So if you want to help shape the future of Go Help Yourself, the time is now. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for being the best part of this podcast. Okay, on to the episode. Bum 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 bum. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Go Help Yourself, the comedy self-help podcast to make life suck less. The voice you're currently hearing is not Misty Stinnett.
And I am not Lisa Linky.
But we are the other person. I hope that was clear. You, if you're turning in to this driveway of this podcast for the first time, welcome. Park anywhere.
At this mansion of self-help.
And we're glad you found us. We are a podcast that reads, reviews, talks, plays all things self-help, including trivia. And we've been doing this for quite some time, and we're very excited that we're back in the saddle. And today, Misty has brought us something that I sort of know what it is, but I'm not totally sure.
Not the
sure.
Deeds. I know we like to surprise each other a lot. And so.
And we do that by jump scaring one another throughout the house daily.
Yeah.
Misty startles me with her sneezes.
Oh, I am a scream sneezer. It is violent. I choose violence every time I sneeze, and it's not on purpose.
I know. You don't choose violence. You experience violence.
That's right. My body betrays me. Totally. But while most of our back catalog is self-help book reviews, mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying, I'll just call it like some of the freedom of exploring.
The expansion. The breadth, the depth.
Yeah, we've been having shorter episodes lately because it's like, it's really nice to, from my experience, cover a whole bunch of different topics across, you know, in a sort of broader way.
I also want to say, if Misty sounds a little different, it's like having a new guest host podcast.
Oh, that's
host.
Right. Yeah. I am getting over some kind of a, I don't know, head cold or something. And my voice is all the way down in my chest.
Well, it's making me meet it just naturally like that. Because I really want to match you.
Yeah, good. I think the words you might be looking for right now are like dulcet or velvet.
Or Demi Moore after smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it. Okay. So on today's episode, I wanted to cover a topic we've never covered before. And I know. And this is a...
How dare you?
This is an article from the New York Times.
Okay.
Called How to Show Up for a Friend Getting Divorced.
Oh.
Yeah. And while it's...
I thought it was just you ostracize them.
It's that.
Because they failed at a marriage.
It's that.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. This was Go Help Yourself.
And that's our outro. But, you know, it's like everyone goes into committed relationships. Well, I can't speak for everyone on the planet, but with the best of intentions.
Yeah, and I don't think everybody, but yes.
I don't think... You know, the majority of people getting married are thinking like, this is never going to work.
I have been to weddings where the majority of people in the congregation are thinking this is never going to work.
That's right.
But I think they're at least,
the folks in the relationship
might have doubts or worries or fears, but it's a big investment and a big, you know, it's having a roommate.
Yeah, it's that and more. But yeah, so I wanted to cover this topic because like, what do you do for your friends when they're going through this incredibly difficult time?
And take them to a strip club.
That's part of it.
Okay,
that's
great.
I'm already step one in the healing
I'm
process.
Already a winner.
That's right. Wow. Lisa really knows how to show up. Also, she takes me to strip clubs for everything. She's like, you're not feeling well? Let's go.
On our way to the, what do you call it, urgent care, I'm going to drop us off real
quick. She's like, you got a UTI? Let's pop in
Chippies.
Real quick.
Let's hit Chippies.
Chippies. Okay, so this article is written by Jancy Dunn, and we'll link it in show notes.
Perfect.
So she says, when my sister Dinah's marriage ended after 25 years, one of her friends set up twice weekly vent walks where my sister could say anything she wanted about her divorce with no fear she was being a burden.
I love that.
I know, isn't that? It's like already great. She's like, coming out the gate.
That's like me anytime I take a walk.
That's right. She says, after a while, you feel self-conscious talking about it, Dinah told me, like people want you to move on.
Mm.
About a third of American adults who marry end up getting a divorce. But for such a common experience, divorce can feel incredibly isolating, said Jeffrey Gardier, a clinical psychologist in Manhattan. It completely changes your life direction, said Dr. Gardier, who is divorced himself. You feel so rudderless. A thoughtful, specific gesture like a vent walk can be a gift, he said. So I asked experts for other ideas to help a loved one who is going through a divorce. Make plans during the toughest part of your friend's week.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are newly divorced, some parts of the week can be especially painful, said Claudia Glazer-Musin, a psychotherapist in New York City. Ask your friend if there are specific days or times that feel harder than others. Maybe it's Friday night at cocktail hour when your friend used to have drinks with their spouse. Then plan activities for those rough patches, she said. Rachel Sussman, a psychotherapist and the author of The Breakup Bible, said that her divorced clients are often nostalgic for small domestic routines they used to have with their spouses. So ask your friend what they miss that you can do together, whether it's gardening or grocery shopping, she said. And side note, I recently was trying to find time to hang out with a friend, and we were both feeling so busy with what we had going on that we did decide to just go grocery shopping together. And it was surprisingly lovely
That's nice. Sweet.
And it felt kind of vulnerable. It's like, oh, we're just doing chores, but you like still want to hang out with me. It was really nice. The next helpful hint they suggest is invite your friend to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Keep including your friend in your plans, Dr. Sussman said. Don't assume they will feel like a third wheel if you have a partner. Bring them with you to movies, dinners, plays, anything, she said. Or you can ask your friend to come to a family dinner, Dr. Sussman suggested. Just offer and keep offering, she said. You're creating community and structure for them. In the throes of her divorce, Dinah asked me to invite her to everything because it shook up her schedule and encouraged her to spend time outside of her too quiet house. So I barraged her with offers, including a blood drive. Will there be cookies? She asked. And a cat adoption fair. Will there be kittens? Next thing is, don't trash your friend's ex. It can be tempting to tear down your friend's ex, Dr. Gardier said, but not only does that prevent them from moving forward and healing, but it can make them feel even more terrible about the person they chose.
I don't know. That one, I feel like, I think that's a case by case.
It's contextual.
Right? Because obviously never, if there are children, never in front of the children.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I know when my friend would be going through a divorce and she would be venting about him or bashing him, if I didn't agree or if I just stayed silent, it caused her to think, wait, am I wrong? Like, was I just imagining that? And so it was really helpful because I never said anything when she was contemplating divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But when she did, I was like, good for you.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing in this advice is there's validating your friend and validating like, yeah, this is what's best for you. Or yeah, that behavior was unacceptable, you know, from your ex or whatever. Feels very different to me than trashing. Oh, well, they were a loser and I never liked them anyway. And blah, 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 blah.
But again,
but yes, contextually.
Right. Because, you know, to be able to say he acted like a real blankhead.
Yeah.
Is, you know, or he was totally wrong on that.
Yeah.
And he screwed up. I think some people would consider that trashing.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But I also think like saying like a person acted in such and such a manner versus like, oh, they were a loser. You know, like they're like separating behavior from
whatever. You've mentioned loser several times. Are you worried about being a loser, Misty?
Constantly.
Well, let me dissuade you of that fear because you are already a loser.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you know what?
And you're also
freeing.
A wiener.
Think. Okay. You guys, I'm going to fire Lisa soon. I can't fire her from her own podcast.
Thank you.
Don't worry. Okay, so try to keep it positive, Dr. Cardier said. Your friend doesn't need to hear how bad that person was for them, he added. They need warmth and a hug and a good meal.
All right.
Which I really love. Here's one that surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Offer to help announce the split.
Mm-hmm.
Clients who are splitting up often feel embarrassed and feel like they failed, Dr. Sussman said. My sister said she had felt that way too, though we had a good run, quote. So when it came time to tell people about her divorce, a friend helped her share the news in a private Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
This spared her the responsibility of having to tell everyone individually and answered some basic questions up front. So ask your friend if they need help getting the word out, Dr. Gardier said.
And then take out a full page ad in the New York Times.
It's that. And find someone to pen some kind of memoir or tell all. Call it, I'm spilling the tea. I'm spilling the D divorce.
All right. It sounds like something
Let's move past
Let's
it.
Let's go.
Let's
Keep
move
going.
Right past it. So ask your friend if they need help getting the word out, Dr. Mm-hmm. Gardier said, and what they'd like to be conveyed.
Okay.
And
He's a jerk and a loser.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Lisa here. Just wanted to let you know that one of my friends is getting divorced, and I think they're a real piece of work. Not helpful. I would add to that, that it can be very helpful to also set boundaries and say, like, here's the kind of help I'm looking for.
Yes.
Please don't ask me questions about this.
If
you know?
You can. Sometimes you're in just so much of a state, you have no idea what would feel good or what you would like. And I understand that. Like,
well,
that's cool,
I
too.
I think naming that could be helpful.
Yeah.
And saying, like, so-and-so is feeling so lost about this right now, not even sure what would feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't make assumptions, but check in each time. Because it's also evolving. It's like...
And go key her ex's car.
That's right. That's right. With inappropriate drawings. But yeah, just understanding that, you know, it's not just a breakup. It's a loss of identity,
yeah.
Hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
It's the whole grieving process. So there might be grief at one moment and then deep anger at another and bargaining. And it's a lot. And I've never been divorced myself, but I have experienced breakups with long-term partners. And it
and child of divorce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that.
Gonna keep that
fine.
Mirror right here.
I'm fine, you guys. The last thing that they suggest is help your friend rediscover themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So Lydia Emery, an assistant professor of psychology at the University of Chicago, who studies relationships and identity, recommended asking your friend, were there any aspects of yourself that you couldn't express in your relationship?
Mm.
Maybe your friend loved to try new foods, but their spouse was a picky eater.
Maybe they were an arsonist and their spouse was a rule follower.
It's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, how can you break the laws in ways that feel true to you? Encourage your friend to rediscover some earlier interests, she said. You can even offer to scout out new restaurants together.
Mm.
My sister always loved seeing live music before her marriage. Friends encouraged her to do it again, and she recently attended a music festival for the first time in decades.
Mm.
I was probably the oldest person there, she told me, and I had a blast.
Mm.
So that's it, short and sweet, but I thought it was really helpful because I hadn't thought about setting up time on the books for just an indefinite time for event walk, just to be like, nope, we are set in time to like dive into your biggest thing right now every single week or multiple times a week. And the very first self-help book I ever read, the gateway drug for me into this, was given to me by my dear friend Nicole probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago. And it was called The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now by Meg J., PhD.
Okay, Meg J.
But it blew my mind, and something that she spoke about that has stayed with me forever is this idea of identity pillars. Uh-huh. So if you think of your whole identity as a house and it's on pillars, kind of like those houses you see by the beach, you know, that are...
I was thinking like Roman columns, but yes, go ahead.
Sure. But like, sure. Whatever comes to mind, you want to have a lot of different identity pillars mm-hmm. so that if any of them get knocked out, say you lose a job, you lose a relationship or get divorced, you have some kind of an illness that's affecting your life. If any of those get knocked out, your whole house, your identity doesn't come fully crashing down. Because if you just have one or two pillars like work and family, that can put you in a precarious sort of mental health position sometimes.
It can. It is a sociological a study that people who have more identities / relationships mm-hmm. Seem to fare better health-wise, work-wise, et cetera. So if I asked you to sit down and list all of the different relationships you have or the identities, et cetera, not saying identities because people are like, well, I'm a fill in the blank. You know, how many relationships do you have? Oh, I'm a sister. I'm a daughter. Yeah. I am a pet owner. I'm a friend. I'm a co-host. The more you do, the kind of better outlook you tend to have, not just about if they take away, right?
Totally. And you know, the analogy that comes to mind is almost like an investment portfolio. The more diversity.
My bitch always brings it back to
money. I know. Or, no, do I? Savvy. But, you know, like if one of your stocks really plummets, as long as you have these other investments, your whole net worth is still going to be okay. Yeah. So that's a bit what I'm hearing in this last point is like, okay, let's help you discover these new identity pillars. So like for me, I love to take dance classes. I'll try pottery.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start painting, you know, or running, just like. You can think of it as hobbies or really anything that, you know, volunteering, whatever, helps you kind of expand your sense of self and different places that you belong or can orient yourself in the world.
Do you feel like you're a potter?
No, I feel like I am a person who takes a long time centering clay on a pottery wheel. And that's my identity. That's my core.
I love it. You are a long-term investor.
Yeah. So,
well, thank you for bringing that, Misty.
Yeah. And I want to say thank you to my sister, Heather, who flagged this for me and was like, this would be great on the podcast. Thanks, Heather. And if there's anything else for everyone who's listening that you're like, ooh, this was particularly helpful when I was getting divorced, or you have any kind of like stories of friends who really helped you out, we would love to share those on a future episode. So you can always reach us at gohelpyourselfpodcast@gmail.com mm-hmm. or through our website, gohelpyourself.co. Come get on our mailing list.
Get your prezzies. That's a story I'll tell you another time.
We love it. And with that,
life is abundant. Go Help Yourself was produced in Los Angeles by Misty Stinnett and Lisa Linke. The original music was conceived, composed, created, and deliciously delivered by the one and only Matt Sapp. If you'd like to get in touch with us, feel free to email us at any time at gohelpyourselfpodcast@gmail.com or just visit our website, gohelpyourself.co.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.